It's a good thing, Johnny. All right, if you got your Bible, let's look at Psalm 37. When you read the Bible, if something sticks out to you, say just a word or something like that, don't just keep on going. Do you finish your reading or whatever, but then go back and study that, because I have learned over time, these words don't always mean what I think they mean, you know, in our language or something like that. So let's look here in Psalm 37. We're going to start reading in verse 4. It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Row and repose each care of your load on him. Trust," this is Amplified Version, "trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make your uprightness and right standing with God go forth as the light, and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noonday. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him patiently. Lean yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." Now go back up to verse 4. Is there anybody in here that has ever not looked up that word delight? What would you think that it meant, if you don't care to tell us? What would you think the word meant, delight? Enjoy, make yourself happy, something? No, that's not what it means. That's why I said you need to look them up. I looked that word up, which I knew it for a little while, but I looked it up again anyway. It says to be soft or pliable in the Strong's Concordance. So what he says here, if you'll be soft and pliable, in other words, moldable, it says, in the Lord, he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. I believe that means God will put the desire, his desires in your heart, and then as you're soft and moldable and pliable to him along your way, he molds you and he makes you and he brings those desires come to pass in the natural. Because he says, commit your way to the Lord, row and repose each care of your load on him, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Serving God is not hard. What's hard is where your will meets his will and they do not go together. That's actually the only hard part about serving God. Now, there's sometimes we don't know things or how things are going to turn out, but we know that God always has our best interest at heart, right? Whenever I was, before we go on with that, y'all remember the story, right, of what I told y'all? Whenever God's come to me and he said, I need you to be more feminine, and I didn't know what that meant, and I got on a search, you know, of what that meant. I've heard all of that and everything. And then me and Scotty had an argument, and I asked him, what is the problem here? How many knows you can't figure you out? If you could, you wouldn't be the problem that you're in sometimes. Sometimes we don't have a clue, you know, and it's pride to think that we can fix ourselves when you don't even know what the problem is. So anyway, I'm asking God, what is the problem? Why is things like this? Because I know they're not right. And y'all have heard the story already. He said, it's your dogged determination. So I thought, dogged, that's weird, you know, to talk to me like that, dogged. Which, you know, I guess you have to have it however you need it. Some people, they can listen to soft-spoken ministers, get just as much. Some of us, you know, we have to have a little bit harder or whatever, the way we understand. But the word dogged, it means stubbornly determined. And I looked up the word stubborn and read the definition here. Stubborn in the Webster's Dictionary, it means be inflexible, difficult to control, difficult to handle or manage. In other words, we could say it's right the opposite of the word delight, because the word delight means be soft, be pliable. It makes me think of that Aubrey likes that stuff. What is that stuff? You squish it, you know. No, not Play-Doh. Slime, I think it is. You can just squish it, tear it apart, put it back together, shape it, reshape it, you know, all that stuff. That's the way we're supposed to be, right? But it's the stubbornness is right the opposite of that. It's inflexible. What's inflexible? My finger will only go so far. But how many knows there's things they should be able to just bend and wrap around and go around or bend the other way? Why? Because if you're unflexible or inflexible, you'll break. You will get sooner or later, kind of like trees, they'll sooner or later, if they're inflexible, they'll get to a storm to where that storm blows hard enough to where they won't bend over, but they just break off. How many knows God intends for us to just bend on over? However the storm comes, however He leads us, just be soft and pliable. So serving God is not hard. As long as we keep our will in check with His will. So let's look at Matthew 10. The Bible says by two or three witnesses let every word be established, right? So we're going to see what Matthew says about something, and then later we're going to see what... I don't think I wrote that down. I thought I did. Anyway, I was thinking it was Mark, but right now let's go to Matthew 10. We're going to start reading for time's sake in verse 37, I believe. It says, "He who loves," amplified version, "and takes more pleasure in father or mother than in me," talking about Jesus, "is not worthy of me. And he who loves and takes more pleasure in son or daughter more than in me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross," that's your own will, "and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conforming wholly to my example, in living and in if need be, in dying also, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his lower life," it's talking about the natural life, "will lose it," talking about your higher life. How many knows you got two different lives? We live this life. The Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. The Bible says we're like pilgrims. We're just passing through. This is not our final destination here. So we live a life here, but we also live a life up there. And he says, if we're going to live down here, this lower natural life, and hang on to it, we're going to lose that higher life. It says, "And whoever loses his lower," talking about this natural life, "on my account will find it," the higher life. Now let's go to, since we're in Matthew 16. For time's sake, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to be my disciple," now last week, I believe it was last week, that we talked about the word disciple. When you look it up, it means one like Christ or Christ follower. It's not just somebody that got born again. The Bible calls that a convert. The Bible didn't say for us to go into all the world and make converts. He said go into all the world and make disciples, right? Teach them how to follow Christ. It says, "Let him deny himself." That is a big one that a lot of people don't want to hear today. It says, "Disregard, lose sight of, and forget yourself or himself and his own interest." See, that's why I said, the Bible says for a man to know to do right and do it not, that's what sin is. A lot of people would say adultery, fornication, getting drunk, all this stuff. Yes, that stuff is in there, should not be done. But sin is wherever my will crosses God's will. That's what he's saying right there. You have to deny yourself. Just like this, for an example, in an argument with Scotty, do I want to be right? Of course my flesh does. But if I'm going to lose, I'm going to be soft, and I'm going to be pliable, and I'm going to be moldable in God's hands to be conformed to that image of Christ that the Bible says we have been predestined to be conformed to His image. Guess what? I can't care about being right. Ain't nobody saying nothing but Johnny. I can't care whether I'm right or wrong. Why? It doesn't matter. In the light of the higher things of God, I can be wrong even though I may think I'm right or know that I'm right. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Because, see, sometimes we think it's these big things, but it's these little things. And in order to be soft and moldable and pliable, in other words, delight yourself in the Lord, to be soft and moldable and pliable in His hands, guess what I got to do? I have to lay down all pride. All pride. Every area of my life. And every one of us probably has it in more than one area. But we can't see it most of the time unless God reveals it. I could see it in your life but couldn't see it in mine. You can see it in areas of my life that I couldn't see it. You understand what I'm telling you? Why? Because one of the definitions of pride is smoke in the eyes. Y'all ever been outside, say it's... I don't know, maybe springtime, and you got a lot of trees in your yard, and you're out there raking leaves, and you're burning them and everything. I mean, you got like a bonfire of leaves going on. Can't none of your neighbors even see, much less you? That's what pride does to you. It hides things. It veils it to where you can't see it. But the thing about it is, if you will desire, delight yourself in the Lord and be soft and pliable in His hands, He'll reveal it to you. He'll show you where it's at. Why? Because it's His will that you get it out, number one, because He don't get it out for you, He can't. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, just like for the sake of that argument, I got to let that go. I got to deny myself. I got to deny myself to be right, even though He may be totally wrong. That's just an example. You go on here, and He says, disregard. He says, lose sight of and forget himself in his own interest. This is why I say when it comes to my life, I cannot have an opinion. Y'all are real quiet. What do I mean by that? Well, I brought it up here I don't know how many times or whatever. For abortion, for an example. I cannot have my own opinion on that. I know these are real touchy people. Listen, God loves people that has had abortions. I know people that has had abortions. You know, it's not that God don't love them. But do you understand God loves that innocent child, even though it hasn't been born yet? I see it kind of like this. In the natural, God made things. He made women's body. He made men's body. And when they come together, when everything comes together right, there is a little spirit on the inside of God Himself, according to Scripture, right? We all came out of God. Not the day we got born again. Everybody. He put them, all of us, in Adam, right? Out of Himself. The Bible says we was in God before the foundation of the world, before He ever started this thing. So in the natural, when things come together the way that God ordained for them to, that little spirit comes from God and enters into that mother's womb. In the natural, scientifically, they have shown that whenever that sperm meets that egg, there's a little spark of light that happens whenever that, what is the word for that? Not incubation, but what would it be? Yeah, conception. Y'all got to help me here. At the instant of conception, there's a little spark of light. And I believe that, according to Scripture also, the Bible, God told Jeremiah, He said, I knew you before you was ever in your mother's womb. God did not start the plan for Athena the day that she come out of her mother. God's plan for Athena and every person, whether you're born again or not born again, was in God before you ever got sent to the earth. So guess what you're doing when you abort that baby? You are denying and thwarting the plan of God. I guarantee you probably presidents have been aborted. Doctors, lawyers, mothers, fathers. I mean, there's been millions of that. So anyway, not to get off on a long rant about that, I can't have my own opinion about that. Why? God tells me His opinion about it. Am I not supposed to love what He loves? Am I not supposed to hate what He hates? Then that means I must lay down my own interest, my own opinion about it, my own interest in it or something like that. Why? Because I have to deny myself. I have to put that myself down, what I think, what I feel, all of that. And I have to conform myself over to what His will is and what He says about it. That's why I have to stay on the same issues and side that God is on. Because if not, that's where my will is going to cross His, and I don't care what area it's in, I'm going to get messed up. There's no way around that. If you don't do His will, you're going to be messed up in that area. Just like this, I mean, I remember back when I put him in football. Travis was an only child, you know, and after his cousins moved, you know, there wasn't any kids around there for him to play with or fight with or anything else, you know. So I put him in football. He was always the smallest kid in his class, you know, and different things. So anyway, I signed him up for football and all of that. And here we go. They're going to practice, you know, and then they wanted him to practice on a Wednesday night. And they called, and I just told him, I said, he can't be there on Wednesday night. I said, we go to church. I said, but he can be there, you know, Monday through Friday of any other night of the week. And they said, okay. They never practiced on Wednesday night. Now, why would I say that or do that? Reason being is what he says right here. I know that it's the will of God for me to go to church. I believe with all of my heart, according to Scripture, right? We don't got to get in. Our pastor, he drills at home, right? So I don't have to get into all that. But I know it's according to written word. I know it's according to the Spirit of God on the inside of my heart. Why? Because He bears witness with that I am supposed to be going to church. And it is also a desire of my heart. I didn't want to go to church before I got saved. I get saved, first thing I want to do is start going to church and reading the Bible. Well, whenever it comes to things like that, I got to deny myself, deny him. Oh, good Lord, we don't want to hear that word, deny kids. I'm telling you, I'm serious. I see kids today that they run the house. Their parents act like they're so dumb. Do you realize, parents, you was given and you will be held accountable for how you teach and raise your children? That's one of the reasons why God picked Abraham, right? He said it in the scriptures. He said, I knew that you would teach your children. That's how important it is to God. That's why God picked him. Not because he was so good, not because he was so holy, not because he was so right, but because he would teach his children. Well, anyway, I told him, you know, I'm sorry, but he can't practice on Wednesday. You know how many kids are practicing on Wednesday that their family goes to church? And then they're too tired on Sunday to go to the house of the Lord to be with God and God's people. Can you have God at home? Sure you can. We all carry him, if you've been born again, on the inside of you. So he's with you 24/7, right? And 365 on leap year. So it's not you come here to find God or be with God. You come here, number one, because he said to come here. He said in the Old Testament, he said, you go where I have chosen to place my name. And here is the place that he has chosen for all of us. So guess what? That's what we do. But if I want to have my own opinion about it and I want to have my own thing about it, I've got God. My kids can play ball, practice ball. I don't know why we're on the ball thing. Maybe it's not the ball. Maybe it's something else, you know. But what are you doing? You're putting your kids first. What's the Bible say? Right? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then he goes on and he says, and then all these things, and he lists Solomon and the flowers and all this stuff. He said, then all these things will be added to you. See, we have people that are working 6 and 7, 8 days a week, if you could put 8 days in 1 week. There's some people that 100 hours a week, nearly, they work. Not even because they have to. Why? Because they like self. They love self. And they want stuff. And they want status. Y'all not saying nothing. You're getting too quiet. Now some people, they have to. Because they don't tithe. They don't give. They don't trust. They don't believe God. Why? God has a way of prospering his people from Genesis to Revelation. And when we get in his way of prospering, of doing things, when we tithe and we give and we're obedient, he says that he causes all of that, causes heaven to open. Do you understand in the Old Testament when they would bring their tithe and their offering, when he's talking about an open heaven, what that means is he'll cause rain to fall on their crops whenever it was needed, right? He'll cause the bugs, the pestilence and everything. He'll be like weed killer to the weeds and an insecticide to the insects. Ain't that what he's saying? Yeah, but it's in his way of doing it, right? But the world has a way of doing it too. And it's work, all these things, whenever God's not into that. God says, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. So God is all into work. He says, I will bless the works of your hands, right? But the thing about it is, it's all when he stays first. Not me first, not my kids first, not my family first. It's when he stays first and in his proper alignment. He said, if I would be willing, right, and obedient, if I go to church when he tells me to go to church. This is so basic, so simple, that you got to have the devil and theologians to get you to misunderstand what he's saying. It is so easy to serve God. All you got to do is love him and go after him. That's all. And you might say, well, I don't love him. Well, you don't know him good enough yet. You can't know God and not love him. He is love, according to 1 John 4:8. Right? And according to 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in his love when it's matured. Why? Because you know how much he loves you. And he loves you unconditional. He doesn't love you based on your performance. He loves you just because he's love and he chooses to love you. Just like this, you know, some people say Jesus taught love and acceptance. No, he did not. You better go back and read your Bible. He taught love and repentance. What that means is God loves me unconditionally. There's nothing I could do. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? There's nothing we could possibly do to ever make God love us more or God love us less. But he's not always pleased with me. So what's that mean? It means I must repent. I'm the one that's got to change. Because he said, I am the Lord thy God and I change not. He don't change and differ. See, the seasons may change, the culture may change, the people may change, the churches may change, but He does not change. So therefore, I cannot change except anywhere that I'm not being like Him, right? That's why I say I can't have my opinion about things. When I read that, that 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 about the woman, about how she's supposed to reverence her husband, you know, and not let it be the outward adorning, you know, of the what you're wearing and the makeup and the hair and all this stuff, and, you know, adapt yourselves to them and be secondary to them. I was like Scotty when he tells y'all he read the Bible and it said, love your enemies. I got to that and I'm like, are you serious? Absolutely not. But then God helped me with a little bit. You know, I went to them classes of how to be the wife of a happy husband, and God gave me the revelation, you know, of it's not my job to tell him, you know, and I'm not supposed to boss him. He's got to figure all that out for himself and everything. So I have lived that way and was, according to him, pretty submissive, you know, unless it was pretty submissive. But it's like this time when God started this, it's just another revelation that he wants me to see. Why? Because it's time to change again. God doesn't just every day give you a revelation and say, change, 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 change. I mean, it's supposed to be progressive throughout my entire lifetime. Until he comes, the Bible says, when he comes, I will be like him, for I will see him as he is. That means right now. When he comes, if he came today, I would be like him, for I will see him as he is, right? No man can be above his master, but we can be just like him according to Jesus. That's what he said. That's what we're all striving for, right? Well, in other words, if to get there, I got to lay down my own opinion. I got to lay down my own will. I got to lay down my own interest. I got to lay down my own desires. Do you understand? There's things I desire that God does not want me to have. Y'all be like, yeah, that's good for you, sister. Every one of us may have desire somewhere, big, little, indifferent, whatever, that God doesn't want us to have. And do you realize that when you love God and you go just go after God? When I say that, what I mean, develop a relationship with Him. The day you got born again, God put you in relationship with Him according to Scripture. The Bible says you were in darkness, but now has He translated you into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son, right? So now I'm in relationship with Him. All you got to do, just develop that relationship. How do you do that? How do you develop it in the natural? Same way. You talk to Him. And you don't just talk to Him. You listen to Him. For Him. Right? You read His Word. Why? This is letters to you. I remember when I was dating Scotty. I'm telling you, it was like, I know the Lord supernaturally put us together. I mean, I didn't even go skating on Tuesday night. It was Sandy's fault I had to go that Tuesday night because some things had happened, and she's coming to stay with us, and Mom was like, nope, can't go Friday. Sandy took us Tuesday night, and lo and behold, Scotty's brother was there. And then his sister was there, and then they called him, and he come there. And then I'm like, I like that one, I think. But anyway, to make a long story short, then he didn't come back and see me for about 2 weeks, listening to his brother, which he should never do. But anyway, after the 2 weeks when he come back, and he come and he started sitting on the porch, and we started going skating together, and we was talking together, and he'd come over, and we'd sit in the truck, and we would just talk. I mean, it's amazing when you get with the right one how much you can talk, how much you have to talk about. Johnny, I'll tell you later, Samantha, what that look was. But anyway, but when you're not with the right one, it's hard. You can't find nothing to talk about. There's not anything to talk about. Do you understand when you talk to God, you are talking to the one that He doesn't think He knows everything. He knows everything about everything. And He is amazing. Just absolutely amazing. So, I mean, you don't have to use all these big words and things like, just talk to Him like you talk to me, or you would talk to somebody else or whatever. Why? That's how He wants you to talk to Him. No pretense. No hypocrisy. I mean, He already knows all your faults anyway and still loves you. So just talk to Him. That's how you develop that relationship with Him. And then read these words. Like whenever Scotty, one time he went to Florida while we was dating. I mean, we dated over a year. He went to Florida to work on a job, and he was going to keep that job, which didn't happen. And we was going to get married and move down there. Anyway, to make a long story short, he wrote me a letter every day, Johnny. I know he didn't want to tell this. He cried in the shower. That's because he was a kid, though, wasn't it? But, I mean, seriously, why? Because he loves me. So he writes me a letter every day. Do you understand this book is your letter from God to you? And then that's also from God to everybody else out here that will accept it, to the Israelites who will accept it, to the Gentiles who will accept it, everybody that will accept it. It is his letter to you. So that is part of my relationship with him. I read this word. I study this word. God, what do you think about this? This will tell me. The Bible tells me what he thinks about things, right? There's certain things that pleases God, well pleasing to God, just like that woman over there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, it said how the pious women of old hoped in God would adorn themselves with a gentle, quiet, peaceable spirit, not wrought up or anxious or nervous or anything like that. It says is well-pleasing to God. Well, that told me, this is how I want you to be, Teresa. This is what is well. How can you deny God of something that he asked you? Like when God says, I need you to be more feminine. How can you say, I don't care, God. I'm not doing that. Are you serious? No. Do you get back to what I'm talking about? Delight yourself in the Lord. Be moldable. Be pliable. See, I have learned that when I do that 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6, because God asked me to learn what true femininity is and then begin to walk in it to the best that he shows me and things like that, how free I get, how much better my life is, and my husband's life and my son's life and my daughter-in-law's, your life. Why? Because you come in contact with me too. Some of you are like, we know, we have. I'm getting better. The Lord is helping me. But that's what he's talking about there. I think sometimes we don't really know what he's talking about when he says, lose your own interest. You know, lay down your life. Some people think, well, I got to die. Yes, you do. It's just usually not a physical death. How many knows when you deny flesh? Say you're right in the, Brother Brad used to tell us this way. You're right in the middle of a scream and God says, stop. Instantly. You know how bad that hurts to stop? If you don't, it's because you've never done it. Or when you're saying something to somebody and he in here, you just feel stop. It hurts. Why? Because it's a dying of the flesh. It's your own will. It's your own interest. You feel like you got to do it, you know. It goes back to that stubbornness, though, where I would say, I don't care if it hair lips the world. I'm going to say it and I'm going to do it, long as I don't feel on the inside that it's wrong. Well, how many know sometimes you can't see that it's wrong? But God can show it to you. And when he does, you just got to lay it down. And when you do, here comes that higher life. Here comes more control. Here comes more joy. Here comes more peace. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting kind of like Joyce Myers when she says, I don't care what it is. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be right. I don't even care anymore. Because I have come to the point where I just want peace. If it takes me cooking, cleaning, doing my business, and shutting up, hallelujah, Lord, I am shut up. God, get so quiet. I didn't say y'all. I'm telling you about me and what God is saying to me. But see, God doesn't just say it to me. He says it to everybody. Now, I may be saying a thing, but he may be telling you something different. He may be showing you a different area. Maybe it's not in the area of being married. Maybe you're not even married. Do you know you don't have to be married to do this? Why? Number one, you're married to Jesus, right? He's supposed to be our Lord. When we're not married, he's supposed to be our husband. When we don't have a father, he's a father to the fatherless, right? He is everything. So even though you may not have a husband and you think this is not for you, no, you do it unto the Lord. See, I might can get, a lot of women, they like that, not having no husband and saying Jesus is my Lord or my head or my master, because they think they get away with stuff. No, no. I can probably get away with more with Scotty than you can with just God. Why? Scotty don't know all my inside things, but God does. So don't be fooled. But he goes on and he says there, in order, if you're going to be his disciple, he says, let him deny himself. Disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself. Do you know how hard that is to forget yourself? If you don't, you've never tried it. You've never worked on it. It's very hard to forget yourself. But the Bible says I'm supposed to prefer others above myself, right? What's that mean? I'm supposed to prefer you before I prefer me, before I think about me. My husband is supposed to be taken care of before I even think about taking care of myself. Oh, and y'all lady, married ladies ain't saying nothing. See, if you have a problem with that, check yourself. What triggered you? Why are you triggered, if you are? You understand what I'm saying by that? Just like when I first read that and I heard that about being secondary to your husbands, that irked me to no end. Why? Because it caused pride. When pride is there, you'll get triggered by that because to you, it looks like it puts you less than. It does not put you less than. Nobody is less than anybody else, but everybody is created for their own God-given purpose. And as a woman, it ain't for me to be the man. And as the man, it ain't for you to be the woman. And as the children, it is not for you to be the parents. Doesn't mean that anybody is lesser than, but it's all about God's given purpose. And He has a purpose for every person's life. One day your children's going to grow up, and then they possibly are going to be the husbands and the wives or the parents or whatever. So then the thing just starts all over again. But nobody is less than, but everybody needs to stay in their proper slot. Why? Because God has a plan before He ever put you here. And in order for Him to make me... Do you know what it cost us to start this church? This was not our agenda. This was not our plan. This was not our thoughts. All we're doing is we get born again and we are green as a gourd, so to speak. We don't know nothing, and anything we think we know, it's not right. We find out later. But all we do is we begin to love God, to read His Bible, to do the things that we come across the best that we could, you know, and things like that, and just go to church. That was all. That's all you got to do. In order, see, some people make it real hard. Oh, you got to fast 25 days and you got to do this, you know, and you got to put an offering in the place. No, you don't. All you got to do is develop that relationship with God. Do the things that you know you're supposed to do. And I guarantee you, where He takes your life, you will be surprised. That is exactly what happened to us. We don't have no clue about nothing. We don't want nothing. We just love Jesus. And in going to church, we would read something in the Bible, we'd go to church, and Brother Brad would preach on it. To make a long story short, just for an example, one time Scotty, now he's working at J&H, he's driving a truck, and it seems like we still ain't got enough money. They cut our lights off every other month and all that stuff, you know, because they let you go 2 months. And it's like we don't have enough money ever, you know. It's just like scraping or whatever. So anyway, he's got a brother-in-law that gets tomatoes and goes to the flea market and sells them at this time and all this. Well, he had a load that he wanted to sell of tomatoes. So Scotty calls me and he tells me, he says, hey, he said, told me the story, you know, Marvin, his brother-in-law's got some tomatoes, you know. Let's pray and ask the Lord if we should buy these. Because see, now we learned a lesson. We bought a load of watermelons one day after we become Christians. We went to the market going to sell them out and go to church the next morning. That did not happen. That's when Sandy asked the church to help pay our light bill, because that's why we was trying to sell those watermelons. Do you see? It goes right back to what I said earlier. He will take care of you, but He get in His way of doing things. It, for us, it was not spending all Saturday night on the market selling watermelons. It was forget the watermelons, follow me, go to my house. You understand what I'm telling you? I mean, just this right here can get you so straightened out. You don't even know. So anyway, we get off the phone. I pray about him buying the watermelons and us selling them, you know, to make some extra money. And he prays about it. And while I'm praying, this is what I hear, Ephesians 6:10. I don't know what Ephesians 6:10 says. So I get my Bible and I go over there and read it. Y'all know what it says. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So Scotty calls me back. He gets through praying. I said, I don't know what we're supposed to do. I said, but I heard Ephesians 6:10. And I told him, I said, and I read it to him. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, if he doesn't say yes or no about the watermelons, but he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, we took that as, forget the stupid tomatoes. We're going to be strong in the Lord. We're going to forget it. We're just going to go to church. You're going to go to work. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He leads you. The Bible says if you are the Son of God, you are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. And the way He leads you, number one, He's on the inside of you. Number two, He's got your word. Number three, you're supposed to have elders and ministers and mentors that are over you to help you. Let me tell you something that I learned. Don't ever tell your problems to people that are under you. This is what I mean by that, okay? Somebody ain't getting it. My mama is my mama. She's over me because, listen, we play so many roles and wear so many different hats. My mama is over me because she's my mama, naturally, right? We got that. Okay, we come in here. My mama is under me and my husband. Why? He is her pastor. And you can't get him without getting me. Why? We are one according to the word. And my job is to help him in every endeavor to accomplish the purpose and will of God for him. So this church is part of my purpose to help him accomplish God's will for him. So therefore, when we get here, she's under us. And I told y'all the story about when all that was going on during that 6 years, and I would try to tell Scotty and say something to him, and he says, "Tracy, you're so blessed." And I would tell Mama, I'd say, "He's staying over there and he's doing this," and I'd say, and then when I would try to bring it up, he just says, "You're so blessed," and I'm so sick of hearing how blessed I am, because this don't feel blessed. And Mama would say, "Oh, Teresa, there's nothing she can do for me, Johnny." And that's all I can say to her about that. Why? I'm talking to her because she's my mama, but that's as far as I can go. Why? Because he's her pastor. And I can't say anything to her that's going to cause her to see him in a bad light. Let me tell you why. The devil will take advantage, because you're not supposed to be doing that, number one. Listen, every little thing in your life somebody don't need to pray for you about. Shut your mouth. Pray for yourself. Trust God. Believe God. Anyway, so then if I told her something bad about him or something like that, guess what she's going to have to do every time he mounts this pulpit? Fight those thoughts. Fight those thoughts. While she's sitting in the pew, supposed to be under the anointing, I have caused her, if I did that, to have to fight the devil every time she goes to the house of the Lord. Far be it from me. Y'all know what the Bible says about the millstone being hung around your neck for all his little ones? We are his little ones, not just that baby. We are all his children. What you laughing for, Johnny? You can tell me later. I don't know what it is. But anyway. Well, so you don't tell your problems, the things you're going through, to people below you. Why? They can't help you, number one. And number two, they're dealing with their own mess, and then you put your mess on. You burden them down to where if you ain't careful, they no longer want to come to the house of the God. They no longer want to be around you. You better hear what I'm telling you. There's too much of that going on in this part of the body right now, I'm telling you. I don't know it by my ears or my flesh. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God. Shut your mouth. I don't even know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to me. Shut my mouth. Shut up, Teresa. Why? Because, see, the thing about the devil is, his thing is to divide and conquer. If he cannot divide us, he cannot conquer us. Why? You ever watched wildlife? It's always that baby zebra that's lingering away from the mama. Or it's always that mama zebra or whatever that's lingering away from what? The herd. The pack, if it's wolves or something like that. Why? Because you get out there by yourself and the devil beat your brains out. Why? It's not supposed to be that way. God didn't set it up that way. God set it up where every one of us needs each other. I may not even like your personality. You may not like mine. Do you understand? That's just a difference in personalities. That's like one of us likes chocolate ice cream and one of us likes vanilla ice cream. Well, good. You eat your chocolate and I'll eat the chocolate. Scotty likes walnut. I don't like that junk. But the thing about it is something that I noticed this for a little while, that the enemy got in there and caused me to start dogging him or talking down, or maybe not talking down, but meaning it in a bad way because he works so much. Let me tell you something about a purposeful man that learns his purpose. He works a lot. Why? He's got a short time to accomplish his purpose. And it ain't going to get done by playing games and watching TV and all this other stuff. Why? Because he's got a limited amount of time to be here. I have come to find that out. And I'm like, God, that's why he's like that. That's why the man just feels driven to work all the time. Now, I don't mean work a job. I mean it's he goes and works his job, and then he goes over there and works them cows, and then he comes home and works that garden, and then he works them fruit trees, spraying them. Why? He's got purpose in everything he does, so therefore he's a busy man. And then you take me on the other hand. I was so messed up to where about all I done was watch TV, because I am so messed up. That's about the only way I could escape my reality. Well, you know what's happened now? Now I got flowers, now I got gardening, now I got yard mowing. And I'm like, I got so much more energy, I got so much more want to. Do you understand what I'm telling you? When you're right, you've got purpose, and you'll be purpose-driven to accomplish whatever that is. And sometimes it just seems like just natural things. Do you understand? God knows we live here, and we're in these natural things, right? Not just spiritual things. But he says that we have to deny ourselves. But anyway, back to that, don't tell people things that are below you. And don't tell other people bad things about anybody else. Why? Love covers. If you are uncovering somebody, you better know right now you are uncovering yourself. But if I will cover, I will be covered. If I will water, according to Scripture, I will be watered, right? Whatever I sow, I will reap, right? It's a law. You cannot get around that, good or bad. So therefore, don't tell people things that are bad about other people. And don't ever dare use the disguise of, we should pray for so-and-so. Well, you pray for so-and-so. And if they need to pray for so-and-so, can't the Holy Ghost tell them? Of course it can. So don't run around doing all of that. Why? Because you're actually being a detriment to yourself and you don't even realize it. But God does, and we've got to stay together, right? Listen, we've had things happen here you have no idea, some of you that have not been here from the beginning. There was one time, see, I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in mine. I can see some things or hear some things. I'm not saying that. But anyway, there was a guy here. He took up tithes and offerings all the time. Kind of like Johnny. Johnny pretty much dismisses us most of the time. And most of the time, I guess, Johnny probably starts the service. Well, anyway, this guy, he took up tithes and offerings. One morning, the Lord told Scott he have another guy that was going here to take up tithes and offerings. Didn't give a why or anything like that. That's just all he said. So Scotty goes to the guy on Sunday morning and he tells him, so-and-so's going to take up the offering this morning. You would have thought Scotty punched him in the mouth. And everybody that was here that morning saw how that man acted. See, God knew that was in there. We couldn't see it. But when God put his finger on just that, and I don't know what the reason was. I mean, I know one time Johnny had to go through it. Scotty quit asking him to do that for a little bit. Well, when that happens, you got to get it worked out. Why? God tries the reins. See, God doesn't test you like to do evil, but he will try your heart. That's what he's talking about, the reins, when you look that word up. And so Johnny had to work through that. You know, he didn't get offended. He didn't get mad or upset. He worked it out. And sure enough, you're back to the one, Johnny, you were the one to pretty much most of the time does that. Why am I saying all of that? Because, see, this caused this guy, for long, they was out. And it wasn't the devil. God tried the reins, and you was found wrong in your heart. And that wrongness in your heart that you would not get rid of, I'm telling you, it will lead you right out of here. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been here. It don't make no difference. And if this is the will of God for you, you better get anything and everything out of your heart to where you can stay here. Because if you don't, you're going to get out of the will of God. And not, listen, I'm not telling you this is the will. You've got to find that out. It's the will of God for me. But you've got to find it out for you. Because if this is the will of God for you, don't be over at the Methodist church, because that's not the will of God. Not saying they're not a good church. I don't know nothing about them. But it's whatever God's will is. Because when you find God's will and you deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Him, your life will be amazing at the end result of where He brings you to. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments or anything before we